Mon cher collègue, nous vous informons que cet entretien avec la presse, donc vous avez l'interprétation en anglais, en français et en arabe. Et j'ai l'honneur de vous présenter le président du groupe de la Banque africaine de développement, Dr Danal Kaberuka, donc, qui nous a fait l'amitié de compléter la série d'entretiens avec la presse par cette rencontre. Nous allons donc, sans plus tarder, et connaissant vos contraintes également, lui donner la parole pour nous faire une note introductive sur le sujet qui préoccupe le sommet actuellement. Vous avez déjà eu l'ensemble des documents, notamment les communiqués de presse, tous les documents que la BAD donc, a produits sur le sujet. Et cet entretien permettra tout simplement de compléter la série d'entretiens qui se poursuivra également après la séance. Donc, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you for coming. I will not be very long. I wanted to say how happy I am to be here. This food crisis is worldwide, but it is above all an African crisis. I think the major achievement of this summit, for which I must commend the FAO, is that it puts agriculture back at the center of development dialogue after years of neglect and underinvestment. You must understand that as far as we're concerned on the African continent, the numbers are very, very clear. Over the last decade, agricultural production has increased by 3%, which means at the same rate as population increase. So which implies that per capita increase in food production has been zero. Now with increased urbanization, which has been feeding on cheap imports. Urbanization, which is now 40% of the continent. You understand that when cheap imports become expensive, there is a crisis. And so it is right that in the first instance, we're able to provide food for the millions who are threatened, who we estimate are between 90 million and 120 million people. Mainly in the urban areas. Now, you may want to ask me what we intend to do as African Development Bank, and our pleasure to say the following. In the years when agriculture was, so to speak, rather neglected, the African Development Bank stayed engaged in agriculture. We and IFAD account for 50% of all the interventions in agriculture. As I speak with you, we have committed to develop African agriculture, $3.8 billion worth of projects and programs. Now, in response to this crisis, we are committing another $1 billion to agriculture. Now, we will be working with FAO and others, World Bank, IFAD, because we would like to concentrate in the domain of water management, infrastructure. Please remember, African agriculture is rain-fed, and therefore making water reliable is the first point of entry, either irrigation and other water management systems. Second, rural infrastructure. We absolutely must ensure the markets are working. There are many regions of Africa still able to produce surplus, which is not getting on the markets. And the post-harvest losses are enormous. And the African government's asking us to invest more in infrastructure, and we shall. Thirdly, you'll be glad to hear that after the Abuja summit last year, the summit of African leaders, on agriculture, the African Development Bank was requested to put in place an Africa-wide financing fertilizer scheme. We have launched that scheme to make fertilizers available to farmers. And I want to say here categorically that I believe the time has come to do so, even by way of targeted market smart subsidy, if that was needed. Because there is no way at these prices farmers can afford fertilizers. Now, but that is not enough. You will see that in my speech, I made very clear that I think time to encourage more private investment in African agriculture has come. If business people can grow flowers on the continent, they can also grow food. However, I'm cautioning as follows. I think we'll have to be careful in terms of negotiating the contracts. Negotiating the contracts. We don't want contracts which look like contracts for mining firms. It will be important to promote investment into African agriculture in a balanced way, in a manner which develops African farming, African productivity, and African exports. We shall do everything we can to encourage inflow of balanced investment. But I want to say that whatever contract farming is being negotiated, we'll have to be careful that they are negotiated in a balanced and positive way. And finally, I want to state the importance of rebuilding the capacities of African ministers of agriculture. Because we are bringing agriculture back to the center. And I want to say that we shall be working closely with FAO to rebuild the capacities of the ministers of agriculture. And very finally, we want to give special attention to countries emerging out of conflict. There are many countries in Africa with huge potential who have emerged from conflicts. They are still in a fragile situation. Many of the people at risk are to be found in those countries. Places like Liberia, places like Burundi, Central African Republic. These require special attention. And at the bank, we have set up a fragile states facility, $600 million, to give special attention to those countries, because that is where the problem is largely intractable. Inside the fragile states, among the 90 million urban poor on the continent of Africa who have been depending on cheap imports, now who have to pay higher prices. Now, these are people who are not captured in the phrase $1 per day, because they live in a cash economy. They live in a cash economy, and therefore are not counted in the $1 per day. But these are the impoverished people whom we have to target. But finally, let me confirm what everyone here said. The long-term solution is to reverse the underinvestment in African agriculture. And that is what we intend to do. Thank you very much.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Nous allons prendre deux séries de questions. Donc, nous ouvrons la première série de trois et le Président vous apportera les réponses. Qui veut prendre la parole? Oui, s'il vous plaît, vous nous dites le nom de votre organe.
My name is Hans van der Lucht from NSC Handelsblad, the Netherlands. Could you specify very concretely what you mean with rebuilding the capacities of ministers of agriculture in African countries? What is lacking? What are you going to do? What do you need to do exactly? And what is it that these ministers can't do at the moment that needs to be done? Thank you.
They are trying very hard, but let me bring you to the attention of what I've just. Imagine the Minister of Agriculture in Liberia or the Minister of Agriculture in Burundi. There is everything to be rebuilt, from ability to collect statistics, ability to manage flow of inputs and outputs, It's basically beginning from scratch as far as the countries emerging out of conflict are concerned. Now, there are many other countries who are doing very well, and they don't need this kind of capacity. But I think we need to begin where we should begin, the planning capacity of the ministers of agriculture, focusing on those countries who need it most. And these are the countries emerging from conflicts and those in the fragile states.
Thank you. I'm Alexander Pusch with Executive Intelligence Review. I would like to ask you, this has been stated very, very much recently in these days, that there is the necessity to invest in African agriculture, in the infrastructural development. You mentioned water development. Now, my question to you is, is that possible under the current IMF and World Bank policy regime of structural adjustment, where many of the nations in Africa are producing cash crops to export to pay some would say an illegitimate debt? And is there the willingness, perhaps under current crisis conditions, to discuss that and to discuss reform of that? Because in Europe currently there is a letter circulating by 14 former prime ministers and financial ministers calling for financial reform. And this might sort of encourage this discussion also in this forum.
Thank you. I want to encourage you to see a part of my speech where I refer to this issue. Part of the difficulties we are facing today, underinvestment in agriculture, we are harvesting seeds which were planted 20, 30 years ago, when as a result of policies biased towards urban dwellers, farmers were impoverished. Now, you may condemn structural adjustment, but I think in the years of structural adjustment, precisely the idea was to try to correct those deficiencies. Overvalued exchange rates, overtaxation of farmers in favor of urban dwellers. Now, that period is over. We are marketing boards, overvalued currencies, we are overtaxing farmers. That period is over. Now the incentives are there. But the incentives are not getting to farmers because there are no roads. Incentives are not getting to farmers because they cannot afford fertilizers. It is not the fault of structural adjustment. It is the next stage, next step to structural adjustment, getting the markets to function. I also should say to you that, without exaggeration, the era of structural adjustment in Africa is almost over. Many of the countries in Africa are now what we call mature stabilizers. Many of them have graduated from funded international monetary fund programs. They are what you call policy support instruments. And so the challenge is no longer one of saying, shall we get the prices right, the markets right? In many countries, this has been done. But to get infrastructure working, water management working, so the farmers can get the means to take advantage of these improved market conditions.
François-Luc Mukwangi, Africa numéro 1. Monsieur le Président, dans ce plan de sortie, dans le plan d'aide de l'ABAD pour la sortie de la crise alimentaire, vous insistez également sur l'importance des infrastructures. Pouvez-vous développer cette idée, s'il vous plaît?
Absolument. Moi, je pense que on était au Japon, et pratiquement tous les chefs d'État africains, ils l'ont dit et l'ont répété. Toute solution à la crise agricole africaine devrait passer, entre autres, l'amélioration des infrastructures africaines, la gestion d'eau, des routes et d'énergie. Et voilà. Comme ça a été avec le Brésil ou ailleurs. Donc, actuellement, nous dépensons pratiquement 60% de notre portefeuille dans le domaine des infrastructures. Bon, dans le cadre de 1 milliard supplémentaire qu'on va engagé pour le secteur en réponse à la crise, J'imagine que pratiquement 40% du montant sera engagé pour les infrastructures. Je ne vois pas un pays développer son agriculture sans développer les marchés. Et développer les marchés, ça veut dire l'énergie, route et gestion d'eau. Voilà.
Bonjour, Monsieur le Président. Je suis Mohamed Ba de Radio Radicale en Italie. J'aimerais poser une question sur vos performances ces derniers temps par rapport, n'est-ce pas, à l'évolution des choses en Afrique. Ici, on parle aussi de changement climatique. Quels sont vos dispositifs, n'est-ce pas, par rapport, n'est-ce pas, aux événements futurs qui ont tendance à s'annoncer dans le continent? Et surtout pour la question des eaux. Quelque part, les eaux sont polluées. Quels sont vos dispositifs? Merci.
I'm not sure I understood the question, but let me try to answer. On the issue of climate change, I want to emphasize the principle of shared but differentiated responsibilities. The continent of Africa has contributed less than 3% to global warming. It has developed less than 10% of its clean energy potential. And therefore, in this doctrine of shared responsibility, we are committed to do anything that does not aggravate the problem of global warming. But we have to develop our economies, and we are determined to develop clean energies, which is potential, is almost 1.7 gigawatts of millions in Africa, plenty of water, on the Zambezi, on the Congo, on the Nile. We are determined to develop energies accessible for the poor. But we want to do so in a manner which is consistent with our commitments under the agenda for climate change. Now, we are particularly interested in the whole domain of biosequestration. Our contribution to climate change has been mainly because of poor agricultural practices, slash and burn. And therefore, the more we can increase productivity of our agriculture, we shall be able to make that less contribution which I've been making. But I want to emphasize the issue of shared by differentiated responsibilities.
Yes, Jerry Hagstrom from the National Journal in Washington. I have been told that at the World Bank in recent years, the African governments have often asked for loans for other purposes other than agriculture, for industrial development, for urban development. Now, what has been the pattern at your bank, and what do you see happening here? Will the governments ask for loans for agriculture rather than other things? How will agriculture compete? And will you encourage them to take loans for agriculture rather than for other things? What do you see?
Two things. I think we should not be too simplistic, though. The African Development Bank remained committed to agriculture all these years. As I said at the beginning, we have at this point $3.8 billion committed to agriculture. And by the way, it is not all loans. Most of it is grants, not to be repaid. As a response to this crisis, we are increasing by another $1 billion at the demand of our countries. So the African governments are committed to developing agriculture. However, I think you should be extremely careful. If people borrow money to develop water programs and infrastructure, That is also important for agriculture. And we are working with our governments to have balanced programs which target agricultural sectors and the productive sector in general. But I agree with you that there will have to be a shift, a significant shift, in terms of real resource transfer to the agricultural sector and sectors that support it.
Brahim Moussa de la PANA. Moi, j'aimerais savoir un peu à propos du mécanisme pour les engrais aux paysans africains qui a été lancé par le sommet d'Abuja. Comment vous allez faire concrètement pour pouvoir donner ces engrais aux paysans africains? Et puis, il y a le Congo dont le président a lancé un appel aux investisseurs pour venir parce qu'il a des potasses qui peuvent entrer dans la composition de l'engrais et que ça serait une bonne chose. Est-ce que vous allez investir dans ces projets?
Première chose, nous allons encourager et promouvoir la production des intrants en Afrique. L'Afrique a les potentiels de produire les intrants sur le continent. Nous allons encourager cela, première chose, avec les investissements privés. Deuxième chose, nous allons travailler avec les gouvernements afin de développer des programmes ciblés pour permettre à nos paysans d'accéder aux intrants. Maintenant, comment le faire, ça varie d'un pays à un autre. Il y a des pays où les marchés fonctionnent mieux. Il y a des pays, comme je viens de le citer, pays sortant des conflits où il y a beaucoup de problèmes. Donc tout cela est toujours en discussion avec les pays concernés. Voilà.
Je vais prendre la dernière question et laisser au président de nous faire la synthèse. Et la série d'entretiens peut se poursuivre également après cette séance. S'il vous plaît. Oui, allez-y.
Yes, thank you. Frederick Kaufman, Harper's Magazine. Today, the New York Times and the International Herald Tribune reported hedge funds buying large tracts of agricultural lands in sub-Saharan Africa. Does your bank group support this? Are you concerned that these large investment funds might leave or abandon their properties if and when commodity prices don't prove to yield the investment returns that they might have wanted?
Let me be very clear on this one. The time has come for African agriculture to become a business. And so we all welcome inflow of private investment into agriculture. But I must also make it very clear that we have to do so in a balanced way, which protects the interests of African farmers and African agriculture. I think things like contract farming, which would mean that many tracts of land would be leased out for farming by foreign countries, and food is re-exported. I think there is a good reason to frown on that kind of inflow of resources. And I think we shall be doing everything we can to ensure that those kind of contracts are scrutinized to the maximum. However, when you refer to private business investing in agriculture to improve productivity of African farmers, with benefits flowing into the whole sectors, building infrastructure, building schools, that should be encouraged. But to be distinguished with a new mode of contract farming being suggested, where huge tracts of African land is leased for farming by other countries and food exported, that should be frowned upon and cannot be part of the solution. So, thank you very much. I think I repeat what I said at the beginning. The summit has brought back agriculture at the center of the debate. It is not 5 minutes to midnight, it is 5 minutes after midnight. I think the test will be in implementing the resolutions we have taken here in Rome. It will be extremely important for international actors, all the agencies, to improve on the way we work together. We shall not succeed if international agencies go back to behaving they were behaving in the past, doing the same things everywhere. This will worsen the problem. It will not succeed if export bans are not lifted. And it will not succeed if commitments we have taken in Rome are not respected. And I'm sure we shall.
Merci d'être venu et au revoir. Merci, monsieur.